classic week of city falling further down the table and falling apart, and they're making weird comments in the post-match now.
Hey, Chad, who am I? Who am I? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We haven't won 7 games, or haven't won a game in 7.
I hope he keeps counting at this point. Like, if you're gonna try and do the banter, but like, keep doing it. Now it's like a meme, and you just got to keep counting.
Here's the crazy thing: why didn't he do 5 at wherever he was at last? We broke him. We broke him, Chad. That's all he could do. That's all he's like. Well, the least I could say is we've won 6. We got him.
Yes, yes. But before we get into all that,
I'm ready.
The business we do have to attend to is what you're celebrating with. What drink you got over there?
Space Camper.
Space Classic Camper.
It's my Sam's Club deal.
There you go. Speaking of classics, just Voodoo Ranger for me. So there you go.
All right.
Speaking of what we know,
I'm going to hit you with a fun stat. I love stats to get us started. Mm-hmm. Besides City, what is the other team that didn't get a point in November?
Not a one. Southampton?
Chad, City is the only team who didn't get a point in November. Oh. Bam!
It's a trick question. Oh my god.
Isn't that awesome?
That's a great stat.
Great stat.
Let's,
let's
hope it continues through December.
It would be shocking if they don't get a point in December, but hey, we didn't, I mean, didn't think we'd be here saying what we're saying right now.
Exactly. So, take it.
This is the worst month City's had ever.
Probably, yeah.
Up there with ever. You know, they've had some bad times previous to this decade, but with the expectations and everything circling around what is, you could argue, the greatest club of the last decade, and now they're throwing out, well, we've won 6 Premier Leagues. Look at everything we've won in the last. It's like, dude, you're rattled. You're rattled so hard. When Liverpool blew the title race, but when we were winning it last year, we didn't start throwing out, well, we won 6 Champions League. Like, those are just really, in my mind, weak excuses. For your difficulties, your lack of form, you know.
Exactly. That's what it is. Like, I think you're kind of talking about the Diaz interview.
Yeah.
And that reporter did good of, like, kind of pushing him more and being like, that's why I'm asking you, like, what is going on? How's everyone feeling? And, you know, the answers he's giving is very much like, I don't know. It comes off kind of childish, right? Of like, well, we're still better, you know, no real answer in that. And, you know, I think it would be interesting to hear what City players are actually thinking, because this is not a position a lot of them have been in before. And I get it. The canned answer is to focus on the next game, but like, you just got it handed to you by your main rival the past handful of years, right? Like, you got to say something more than moving on to the next one.
Did you find that game just strange with Pep's attitude? Any other year besides this one, he'd be losing his mind. He'd be up out of his chair. He'd be on the touchline yelling at his players. And I mean, we don't get to see that much while watching the game on TV, but from what we knew and what the commentators were telling us, he wasn't doing that much at all.
Yeah. Part of me feels like he was holding back a little bit after last week's other meltdown where you know, he's hurting himself and saying he wanted to hurt himself and all this weird,
very weird,
weird meltdown, breakdown kind of talk, I guess. So I think he was maybe keeping that in mind, and maybe like City PR spoke to him and was like, just play it safe, be normal for once. But I think you're right. You know, other games, I feel like even when it's not a big game with big points on the line, he's still out there, you know, shouting, moving people around, trying to manage mid-game. And from what we saw, what we heard, it seemed like he was just kind of there taking it and just letting it play out as it was going to. And I don't know, it it's very strange that the whole team is in a weird funk, and you know, a lot of them just, this is probably their first experience at like this high level of being so far down in the dumps.
Fifth. They're in fifth. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
What did you think of the game itself?
Oh, wow. You know, Liverpool, I think, came out just so strong, so like electric, and passing was sharp. Everyone's running, just really putting the pressure on City. I think I'd say maybe the first like 20 minutes, they were like really good. You know, obviously got their goal in that time and maybe should have had another one or two in there as well. But then I think they started to maybe save some energy for the rest of the game, or, you know, what have you. But they kind of let City get a little bit more comfortable in the game, I think. But even saying that, I never felt like City was really threatening, right? Like,
one or two times. There was like a Foden shot that wasn't that close. And then, of course, the Virgil error on the back pass. That was the literally the only two times when I was saying like a oh, or like a oh my god. And great stop, Kelleher. That De Bruyne trying to nutmeg him, and for him to get his shit on that ball and then smother it afterwards. Oh man,
yeah,
too close. But other than that, considering we're without Konate for a good amount of time here, and he's been like just as good as Virgil in these last like couple months, not having him for this game was definitely a little nerve-wracking. And of course Connor Bradley, who shut down Mbappe, to then not have him either. I was definitely a little worried about that side of the pitch for sure. But I mean Joe Gomez came in and handled it. It's so nice to have Joe Gomez here, who's been around for so long now. I don't know if I'd feel comfortable with anyone else really stepping into that spot. And he played it just as well as he could have. I mean, Trent, this is arguably one of Trent's best defensive games, and he was all over the pitch too. So everything is just clicking for us right now. We're riding this wave. It's insane the type of form we're in. Our confidence is so high. Like, we have everyone getting some contribution on the goals. I we can kind of break down the game more, but I'm starting to lean towards Nunez being like this Liverpool like cult legend. He won't be like the Salahs. He won't be the Firmino. Like, he's not going to be that name that, like, I don't know, we remember doing fantastic things. He's just going to be that, like, I don't know, like the Dirk Kuyt type of guys who just came in, or even like better than Balotelli, because Balotelli didn't really give a shit. But like, just hearing that name and what he meant to the team. I mean, my favorite part was him stopping the cross and at near the end of the game, and then flying 70 yards down the field and doing this flying jump kick tackle. I was just like, oh my god. I was like, this guy's crazy. but like how in the weirdest way inspiring for everyone else to be like,
oh yeah,
like look at what? This guy, he's running around like crazy.
And that's the thing, is like some players are just incredible super subs, right? Like in Giroud's time at Arsenal, he was kind of a better super sub than a starter for a lot of it. And like, I get a lot of players don't really want that title. You know, you want to play as much as you can. But I think luckily Nunez is kind of, as we've already talked about, like seeing that, like just riding with the team and staying with them and staying, you know, focused and helping out where he can is you're doing enough, right? Like, yeah, you didn't, you know, get the winning goal or any of this sort of stuff, but you still contributed so much out there in your small amount of time. And, you know, yeah, I think you might not have the name in lights like Salah will at the end of this, but I think you're right. It will be a name that gets thrown out where maybe people kind of forget about him every now and then, but then when his name comes back up, they'll be like, oh yeah. And it's going to be that, like, he's crazy, so it's going to be some moment like that where, like, yeah, he made the stop the cross and then darted back down and, you know, something weird like that. So I hope he keeps up with it. Like, he doesn't seem discouraged with his current role, so I think that's good. You know, yeah, it's working now, and he seems happy enough to play that role, so keep going.
Yeah, he didn't get a lot of opportunities to really shoot, but near when he got subbed in, he was in the 73rd, most scored the second 5 minutes later. So it's not like we needed his goal contributions. We just needed him to be that energizer for that last part of that game. And
but I mean, he takes that makes that tackle, takes it off of Diaz, right? So like, that's a big thing right there.
Yep.
So
the first goal, the pass by Mo. I almost think Mo was trying to shoot, but like, since everyone's crashing that back post anyway, it worked out the way. I mean, and Gakpo put it in with his thigh, so it was. Again, I kind of liked this formation, right? We saw Gakpo excel at the left wing in Euros, and now this is kind of like the first time we've really seen, I should say, Slot put this formation on Champions League, but having Diaz at the top, I like it. I like the speed. I think Diaz is arguably better on the left-hand wing because he can take those wing backs one-on-one and kind of blow by them on the line. Centrally, he has to do a lot more dribbling, but he's fantastic at it. But I would argue Gakpo can be just as vital as Diaz on the left-hand wing. So why not maybe like shove them both over there and kind of like play off each other? That seemed to work pretty decent. And then, of course, Szoboszlai playing way more central, way more touches on the ball, way more than what we saw last year. This is, I think, what we were expecting out of him when he came into the club. We're just so well-rounded right now. It's crazy. And then, of course, Salah just doing Salah things. And he probably should have had another goal in this game. There was one moment on that breakaway when I said, please don't mess this up. And, of course, it got messed up. That was a bummer. And then, of course, the PK, you know, I've been reading the comments saying soft PK, shouldn't have been a pen. But I was like, what do you want Diaz to do there? I was like, it's like he was avoiding the tackle and he still got hit. It's you know, people being a little biased. I think people jumping off of a city train just because Liverpool's cranking it right now. that's the gist.
I think you know, just to talk on the Diaz-Gakpo thing, I think with both of them out there, since they are both kind of more comfortable on the left, now they can just swap mid-game, right, and switch it up a little bit too. So I think that, I don't know if that is part of the tactic here, but at least that is a thing the team can use if they want to try changing something around. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think Liverpool played great. You know, they looked fairly comfortable the whole time. And, you know, I think the only time they felt like they were uncomfortable was when Virgil messed up his little turn back there. But, you know, such a brief moment. And luckily, a Kevin De Bruyne that's still way out of form. Kelleher was right there ready to go. So props to him for holding it down, not only this game, but all these games that Alisson's been out, you know. I don't think you're going to get to keep him around as a backup, but I think you'll at least get some great money for him.
Well, it's like, you know, we bought, what's his face? Marmadashi, is that how you say his name?
Oh, yeah, something like that.
Marmadashvi. He, you know, we spent like $40 million on him during the summer, and have Kelleher as our third string right now doesn't make any sense. No. Even there, you know, there was a rumor that Alisson was going to make it back for this game. And in my head, I'm going, I get Alisson is a better keeper than Kelleher. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But to just throw Alisson back into a game like this with such high stakes, was asking a lot. And I get it. 100% fit Alisson. I want him there. But sometimes you got to ride this momentum, this heater that you're on. Bring him back in another game in a match that isn't as high stakes. I think Slot said over the week, if he's ready to go, he's playing. So that made me a little nervous, which is crazy to think that arguably the best goalkeeper in the world coming back makes me nervous. But that's just what City does to you in these types of games. So yeah, I was very happy. That was the one thing that I needed this weekend to get me over the hump you know, the anticipation going from Madrid to City. And then, you know, it's like we're now 13 weeks in, and are we the title favorites at this point? And is this our title to lose this early in the season?
I think you could say yes to both. Like, title favorites from the start of the season, probably not, but, you know, based on position now and the gap that you have, I think certainly. Title to lose, I think, is Yes, but you know, I feel like that's still such a harsh pressure to put on this team because there's just so much more to play, right? Like, there may be other losses, there may be other draws and stuff. Like, I don't know. I mean, I get it's a nice gap. You have 9 points on second, which is, you know, in recent years, plenty of gap to cover. But, you know, there's still, what, 25
games left.
Yeah, so, you know, it's... people will say it's, you know, Liverpool's title to lose now, and, you know, they get all the pressure of trying to continue this run, but I don't know. I think that's it's harsh to put that on a team so early just because they started so well, you know? Well, but it kind of comes with the territory, I guess.
The stats and the numbers are coming out, though. There have been six other teams with a point lead like this within the first 13 matches, and they've gone on to win the Premier League. So it makes sense.
In a great position to do so.
For sure.
So,
it makes total sense.
I get it, yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you think we run away with it?
I don't think it'll be like a runaway situation. Not that I think Liverpool's going to all of a sudden crack and, you know, go on some terrible run, but, you know, I think as they get deeper into Champions League and potentially FA Cup and stuff like that, where it's just like matches become a little bit more important outside of Premier League as well. I think it, you know, it just gets tough as there's bigger games to play midweek and then whatever's going to be at the weekend. So, I mean, yeah, I don't see it being a sharp downturn. I think Liverpool will slow down a bit.
You think we'll slow down?
Just a bit, like, you know, a draw or two, you know, back to back maybe, but like, yeah, I'm not saying you're gonna do like a City downturn here and start losing game after game.
I'd lose my mind if that happens at this point of the season. That would be probably one of the worst downfalls in Premier League history if you're at this point of the season and you end up losing 6-7.
Yeah, I think Liverpool's in a great spot. Got great momentum. You know, I think everyone you need to be healthy is healthy, and you know the others will just come back and find their place in the team. Yeah, I mean, it's a nice spot to be in, and nice lead to have this early on, and just keep riding that wave.
So on the flip side, what does City do? What do they do to fix this?
I don't know. I mean, I was going to ask you, like, what did you even think about, you know, the team they put out? It's
bizarre. It was a little bizarre. Bizarre
team. You know, yeah, you dropped Ederson because he was the problem? Question mark? Clearly not. Like, clearly it's bigger than just him.
I have thoughts on that. I think a lot of it is mental. I think he's definitely a little bit rattled, and I bet Pep can see that. And I think when Ortega has come in within the last year, he's been excellent. He's made insane saves, insane IQ when he's out there. I don't think Ortega played bad in this game at all. I think he played pretty decently besides the PK, and that's not even really his fault. Diaz is just so fast. He really didn't have a choice.
He had 5 saves on the day. So,
And without him, I think this game is a blowout. So, you know, it's tough. I think this team has a aging core and a really young a group of teenagers that don't know how they're supposed to play in this team yet. I mean, you got Gundogan and De Bruyne who are up there. De Bruyne came in late, but, you know, he had one good opportunity, which was more of a mistake by Virgil, if anything. And then you got a bunch of young guys out there. Nunez, Rico Lewis. Hell, throw in Savinho and Doku out there, too. And Walker's getting old. He looked like a shell of himself this game. There's rumors City want to get Frimpong out there, and I could see him. I can see that working in their favor. I think this team just lacks a lot of creativity.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. But like, I don't feel like this starting lineup was the one you bring to Liverpool. Like, Nunez is a guy you don't really use that often, and even when you do, you use him more in the midfield than on the wing. Rico Lewis is kind of the same of midfield to like one of your wing backs. Foden is been off this season, right? Like, no Gvardiol out there. I get he's not the most defensively minded, and he would be on Salah's side, so I think that was the thought process there, but he's one of your top goal scorers in this team, and, you know, is not afraid to charge forward and take shots from distance. I don't know. I think honestly, you got to just start throwing Gvardiol in the midfield and, you know, see what happens there. I get great left back in an attacking sense, and defensively he's mostly fine. But I think he could bring a lot of pace and ball carrying ability to your midfield that is currently lacking.
I thought that was very strange. We didn't get to see him at all this game. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised Savinho was a sub and not playing on the right wing to start. I think he could have gave Robertson a lot of problems. Yeah, definitely a questionable comp that Pep threw out there. I thought, you know, Akanji kind of just came back too. I thought he maybe could have thrown Ake back there instead of him.
Yeah.
I'm not mad about it, but also, you know, Pep's lineup here is pretty thin. I mean, his depth is really is pretty bad. What's their injury looking like right now? No Kovacic.
Yeah, their injuries are list isn't big, but they just don't keep a big team. So this mm-hmm. is just part of the risk you take, right?
Yep.
Where, you know, yeah, you can bring in higher quality players because now you got more money to throw at them rather than just extra players. But if you hit this little injury crisis, especially now that it's Rodri and Kovacic, you're only two like real holding midfielders there, then this is what you got. And, you know, as good as Haaland can be, he's not the guy that's going to take the ball and dribble his way through, you know, half the team and do some crazy like Messi run or anything. So he needs the creative players behind him. And like, maybe that was part of the thought process here of doing like three midfielders behind him. Well, I guess five midfielders behind him to try and just get some creative pass working. But yeah, nothing really came off at all. So
if anything, they just need to start throwing more long balls at Haaland. They didn't do that for the first, like 40 minutes of this game. Yeah. And then, I mean, you could probably count on one hand how many times they ended up doing it for the entirety of the game. I mean, the one that stood out was Virgil and him running side by side, and Virgil just right in stride, stuck his leg out and cleared it so easily. I mean, that was a beautiful like timing and clearance of it. But I imagine if you do that, call it 12 to 15 times a game, one of those will probably break through. I mean, we've seen it before. Of course, they'll break through. You need to just go against, I guess, a defense that has some cracks. And arguably, this would have been a game to try it on because Gomez and Virgil have not played together as a center back pairing once this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's crazy, Pep. Crazy lineup he threw out there. And then, of course, the one thing that we talked about already, the questionable Kwanzaa substitution. Big brains on Arnie there to get, I guess, get confidence up in him. Like, I trust you to now go back. The first time going back in a Premier League game since your first game, which you kind of sucked, and now you're going in against arguably our biggest matchup of the season. Whew, man, didn't see that coming.
No, that was a surprise, and especially because I thought Trent was playing such a great game, especially defensively, you know. And I know Doku was causing some issue, but I think Trent was, it looked like he was happy to play that game and happy to kind of want to defend him and not let him through. So I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's just Trent not fully 100% or just wanted fresh legs on that side now. But Kwanzaa came in and he just handled his business, you know?
It was great. He just played smart. Didn't do anything too fancy. Just played his game. And I don't know, whatever slot told him, it worked. And now we move on. And now we're top of the league by 9 points, which is crazy at this point of the season.
Nine points and 11 above City.
Which I don't think we've ever been in the last 9
I wouldn't think so.
To 10 years.
That's big, yeah.
That's so crazy, dude. It's wild.
Yeah. What? So, well, I mean, that brings me to my final question here. Is Pep unsackable?
Oh, yeah. If this was any other coach, I think at this rate, you would sack him.
Yeah.
Take away the history. If we're just going like a one linear season, mm-hmm. I think at this point you would have to. Going from top of the league to fifth in 7 games.
Yeah,
and not getting a point in the month.
You're like perfectly mid-table in Champions League, you know, out of the automatic move on to the next phase. You're in playoff position there. You know, team's not playing great. Doesn't look like there's much upside. I know he just signed a new deal for a year, but like, I don't think he's going anywhere. I think they'll give him the whole season. But it makes me think back to, you know, the season before Klopp's last, where like Liverpool was struggling, right? And things were not really working out, weren't clicking. But like, it never felt this bad or this like scary of like, what happened to this team?
There were injuries, which you can compare to City's injuries. But yes, you are right. There was never a... like a moment, I mean, Pep making himself bleed, accident or not, and then saying, like, I'm going to go hurt. That was crazy. That was one of the craziest things I've ever heard a coach say. And we watched a lot of Mourinho, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And now, like, Mourinho knows he's insane, but I think Pep, I don't know, man. I feel like Pep was being a little extra this week. And, you know, when Mourinho did, like, you know, three.
Yeah.
That was all like real. That was him. Yeah. The Pep counting to six thing, that just felt, I don't know, it felt superficial. It didn't feel like he was rattled. When Mourinho says things, it's like, that's just who he is.
Yeah, I feel like Mourinho is aware of the mind games that exist in this sport, right? And like, kind of sees it from that angle, so we'll play those games where Pep, you know, I think understands it in as far as like the press conferences where, you know, oh yeah, this team we're coming up against is really good, and then they go and smash them 4-0, whatever, like that's kind of his thing. But then here, yeah, where he's on the, I guess, the receiving end of the banter of, you know, Pep's getting sacked in the morning, and like, It's not an offensive chant. It's, you know, probably one of the least offensive, most like wholesomely negative chants fans can give to you. For him to count it out, and then like, that was one thing. I think that was cool, play with the fans, but then he's still doing it post game.
Going. I was like, wait. I was like, I don't remember him doing that on that side of the pitch during the game. I was like, oh, this is post game. That was crazy. That was weird. And like 99% of the Liverpool fans know he's not getting sacked in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
So then it's like, I don't know. I get it. Pep likes the banter. I think he respects Anfield a ton. It's like the one place where he feels he has to bring his A game, just because of how many. I mean, back and forth we've had over the last, you know, all the Klopp years and everything. I'll just say, when you guys finally beat them, it feels so good. Man, it feels so good.
We're so close. I was feeling good and then felt a little less good.
It'll happen. It'll happen sooner than you think. And it's just like a breath of fresh air, man.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Y'all deserve it. All right, I'm happy with my Liverpool talk. Newcastle tomorrow, Thursday. We got Newcastle
Thursday.
Wednesday. Man, Wednesday, week games. First time that we were doing this year, so I got to check my schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, tomorrow's just Ipswich and Palace and Leicester and West Ham. So everything else is Wednesday and then two on Thursday. So, nice. Yeah, mainly Wednesday this week. But you want to talk about the first half of the Arsenal game, because that's all you need to talk about?
I think so. I think we can start there and see what it turns into. Pretty straightforward, if you ask me, for what you guys were trying to accomplish.
Yeah, yeah.
Put up five and call it a day.
It was went about it as well as I think everyone was expecting it to. You know, West Ham had a good result last match day, so I think that maybe raised a few eyebrows leading into this. But, Arsenal, I think just they started off very controlled, and, you know, West Ham didn't really look up to it from the get-go. Like, Arsenal kind of played through them pretty easily. You know, wasn't any real issue. it felt too easy, I guess, once the goals started going. Like, it almost just felt like back-to-back on a lot of these.
It felt very vintage to last year when you guys would put up a lot in the first, 30 minutes. Yeah. I feel like that hasn't happened too much for you guys this season.
No.
Your set pieces, though, man. I'm so jealous.
That's it. I don't know why these teams don't want to guard Big Gabby on these corners, but...
What's your run-up? Your run-up is so intimidating when everyone's lined up on the far side, and then...
Well, that's what I was thinking, too, is, like, they almost tried to man-mark them from the run, but would it not be better to just kind of set in the middle and then adjust, like, as they come in? Because, like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not out there playing or practicing like this and or any of these set piece things, but it seems crazy to try and follow them because they know where they're going and you don't, right? So you're now adjusting to them, but then also trying to keep track of where the ball is, and I don't know. Teams aren't figuring it out.
Is coaching this easy? They just need to play zone defense? Because, yes, it's a mad scramble when there's about, what, 6 to 7 of them crashing from strong post to I guess, the weak post, and then no one knows where Gabby is. How does that man go unmarked? Biggest man out there.
Yeah, if you're going to pay attention to anyone, it has to be him. He's, got a knack for scoring these goals now. Like, it's a known quantity about him is that it's going to happen. It's, great to see, but just unbelievable that teams aren't catching on. It mm-hmm. almost feels the same as, what was it, last season, where Ben White would just go around and mess with the keeper, and, like, teams wouldn't catch on. They would just complain. And it's like, okay, well, just keep him away from your keeper. Like, that's all you got to do. But, long may it continue. It's easy goals. We take them. Having Odegaard back, I know he's been back a couple games now, but, like, he really brings the team together. I mean, that lovely little, like, lifted pass into Saka, then cross it into Trossard is lovely to see. Then Saka drives in later. Bakata leaves out a leg. Easy pen.
Got him.
And there were more goals. It was all great. The question I do have, though, so Big Gabby goes up for the header, Fabianski comes out to punch the ball away, misses the ball, right? Punches Gabby in the head. One, okay, it's a penalty, but, like, is that not violent enough to also be a red card? Like, I get you're trying to play the ball, but, like, if you're playing with a punch and you miss it, I feel like it's a little bit more egregious than just, like, I missed my tackle, right? Or I missed my catch, or...
Yeah, I get that. I get where you're coming from, but it was a athletic action, right? It's different from... I mean, he's in his grounds to throw a punch as a keeper.
Yeah.
It's I would call it the same as a bad slide. Not a studs up slide. But, like, you were allowed to punch, right? Mm-hmm. That's totally fair and in the game. Did he whiff? Yes, he got a card for that, right? That he did get carded.
Yeah, he got
a card. So, now, if he was outside the box?
Well, sure.
Not a keeper action anymore, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's tough. I mean, it's like Drogba when he got nailed in the head. I don't know if that keeper got any punishment from that in that situation.
I don't remember.
That was too long ago, but...
Yeah.
That's tough. I think that's where common sense from an official needs to come into play. Mm-hmm. Where if Fabianski had no shot at it, I mean, do you think Fabianski was close enough?
I mean, yeah, I think close enough. I think it was, you know, a just purely mistimed thing. Not like a,
if I throw this,
it wasn't close enough. So let me just throw it and you know, kill the play. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's one of those, like, a little bit gray area, I guess, right? Because I get it. Keepers are allowed to come out and do that and fight for the ball. But unfortunately, that version of fighting for the ball can have some serious consequences if it goes wrong.
It can. You could argue that for a lot of things, though. Yeah. I think this rarely happens. Rarely. Yeah. Like, I don't even know the last time a keeper threw a punch and missed the ball. Yeah, it's tough. I think it depends on the keeper, too. I think there's a lot of factors that go into this.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I don't think Gabby was ever checked for a concussion.
No. I was thinking that, too, when it happened. A little concerned with that. I don't really understand what the protocol. Any type of head, any contact of the head where a player touches it should be automatic concussion protocol.
For sure. I mean, I don't know if you saw when he got up, but he definitely stumbled a little bit.
He's a little woozy. Yeah.
So, as much as, you know, they'll blow the whistle at any alleged head injury and stop the play, great. But then, like, here's a prime example where, like, someone actually got hit in the head with some amount of force that they weren't expecting. Is that not, like, your textbook? Like, all right, let's use the concussion sub, get him off, check him, everything, you know? I don't know. That surprised me more than, you know, red card or not. I thought for sure we would see him pulled off for a check, and maybe because it was close to halftime, they were just going to let it ride out, but...
I think that falls on three people. The coach, the staff, medical staff, and then the official. I think the official should probably recognize what happened first and immediately call for personnel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's classic Anthony Taylor refereeing right here. Probably didn't even see what happened. But yeah, it's a tough one. It's been really interesting to be in the college soccer system and see how any type of hit to the head, immediate X to the booth saying stop the clock, game is paused. That player comes out immediately and is checked, no matter what happened, anything to the head, even the smallest hit, immediate clock stop, which I respect. Of course, the substitution, you get substituted right away. College system, you get a sub yourselves in and out once per half, so it's really not that detrimental. I just respect it a lot more when that happens. It happens more often than you think, and I've seen some pretty bad clearances that just go straight to someone's jaw and just like head clock back, and it's like, oh my god. I'd like to see more of that happening. Not the heads getting cocked back, but more of the protocol being in effect, because I do think it's a big deal. And I do think these players have egos acting like they're not hurt or they're fine.
You can't rely on them, because it's the same as, you know, when we see American football players get pulled out for concussion and then right back in the next play. It's like,
it's crazy.
Alright, like, we all saw the hit you took.
I will say the NFL is getting better. I think the stigma with concussions is you should get that looked at, and now they're starting to wear bigger padded helmets, but even then players are opting to not wear those helmets because they look silly. Yeah. It's like, brother, it's your brain.
Silly helmet functioning brain.
Which makes me think, but you know, it makes me look at old school players, specifically, Chivu from Inter. He used to wear a head cap all the time. Peter Cech, like, why aren't we doing that more?
I mean, even, you know, Jimenez, mm-hmm. while not the full helmet, he at least has like the little padded sweatband sort of thing.
Is he wearing that anymore?
I don't know if he's wearing it anymore, but he was, you know, when he first came back, and like, it can't be that uncomfortable or that like annoying to wear for 90 minutes. I mean, I'd rather that than, you know, in his case, you refracture your skull or something. Like, that's not something to play with. But anyway, you know, West Ham got 2 goals back in this. I will say, I don't think Rice committed a foul here to give away the free kick right in front of Anthony Taylor that he somehow didn't see. But Emerson walks up and just fucking bangs this in.
Cracked it.
Wow. Well done. Foul or not, you took your chance, and good job.
What was your nervous meter after they scored that? It's 4-2 at that point?
4-2 at that point. A little nervous.
It's like oh my God.
Yeah, like to go up, you know, so easy, and then first goal I think was good. I think it was, you know, Calafiori and Trossard a little bit checked out, as well as maybe some other people for like a split second, and you know, West Ham took advantage. And then that one is just like, okay, we're calling it a foul, even though I don't agree with that. And then, I mean, the free kick itself is picture perfect. So, you know, nothing you can do with that. But, yeah, it got a little bit more nervous, certainly. I wasn't afraid it was going to be like a slide the other way, because I think Arsenal was still looked like they had more threat in them. Mm-hmm. So I think if they needed to like really step back up again, they could have. But you know, luckily it didn't have to go that way. But yeah, I mean, just what a crazy 45 minutes, 50-ish, I guess, in the end. But then second half was nothing happened. Don't even watch the second half.
7 goals in the first and then nothing in the second. It's pretty incredible to be able to pull that off. Excuse me. Another Premier League record. Kluivert getting a hat trick from the PK spot.
Yeah.
I never thought about that before. I never even...
Me either.
I figured it could have happened in the past, but pretty shocked it hadn't.
Yeah, I was surprised it hadn't either. I thought maybe in, you know, like United's heyday or something, like they would have had a game where the other team just couldn't keep up and was taking them down or whatever. But... and then I was kind of wondering, because like I didn't watch the highlights until later, so I saw that, you know, he's had the 3 penalties, and I was like, so does he stick with the same side every time, or does he try and play the mental game of like, keeper knows I went left this time, so I'll go middle or something, and like how he's gonna work that, because you know, a lot of the times you see if there's multiple penalties in a game, it gets like handed off between 2 players or whatever, right? But no, he just took it. I think all of them were different areas, if I remember correctly.
Slightly. I think he went 2 left, 1 right.
Mm, yeah.
I think Saw was kind of cooked this game. Didn't look right in the head. I won't be shocked if we don't see him play against Everton this week. I just feel like we're kind of like, even though we were trending upwards, I think 3 PKs, if you save one, maybe something changes. Yeah. I mean, the Wolves were kind of in this game still. They were never really going away. Strand Larson had nice build-up play. Looked good. Smashed a couple goals. I like him. Don't know much about him, but I'm going to keep my eye on him. But yeah, I mean, the just unfortunate PK, especially the last one. I think Saw gave up the last PK, and it was like...
Yeah,
that wasn't great.
How'd you feel about... the first PK that
remind me who did it?
Well, I guess the second PK, but the first one that Saw gave up. Ball's kind of at his feet, and he's going to pass. And in the motion of the pass, Evan Nilsson like sticks his foot.
Yeah, that, we've seen that so many times this year. It's like where the player is about to kick the ball, and then someone steps in front, and then you foul him. It's like, even though you're in your motion to kick it, I don't know. Those situations are tough. I'd argue that's more of a gray area than the Fabianski punch. I almost want that to play on a little more.
I would agree. You know, here, I think especially, I don't think Saw sees him coming at all. Like,
no.
At least doesn't physically, you know, check over his shoulder. Maybe he's getting a call or something. But to be mid-kick motion and then someone just stick their leg in the way and, yeah, he gets the ball. So, okay, he made a tackle, whatever. But, like, then for that to be considered a foul enough to warrant the PK just feels harsh. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Those maybe need to just play on a bit more, unless it's some like egregious kick, I guess, but and it's just, you know, normal passing kick motion.
I mean, I think Anthony Gordon did something like that this year.
I think so.
Once, yeah. he got his foot in and then got fouled. But then, like, I remember it might have been last year, even 2 years ago, when Mendy was going for the ball and the player beat him to it, but then, like, during their step through, Mendy was in the way, so then it was a foul on them. But Mendy hadn't even touched the ball yet. What happens in the box is just, it's like, it doesn't matter. Rules don't matter at that point anymore. it's definitely, I would say that was one of the harsher PKs we saw this weekend. I felt like a lot of PKs this weekend.
Yeah, good amount.
But yeah, that was one where it was not clear and like, oh yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, rough one.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Rough on the Wolves, too. I mean, thought they were coming back up.
I thought this game would be a not clear cut for them. I still think they'll be okay. Who they got next?
Everton next.
So.
And if Everton's going to play like they played against United, Wolves should be okay.
They should be okay. Segue, Man United. Chad, should I consider subbing Rashford in for Haaland? You know what time it is? It's December.
Yeah, that's the only thing that has me thinking is because of what time it is of the year here.
I literally, when I saw the goals, I was like, it's December 1st or whatever day. It's November 31st, whatever day it was.
yeah.
It was the 1st.
Yeah, it is his time that he likes to show up. I don't know.
Am I crazy?
I think that is a little crazy. I don't know. I'm not fully sold on the United ship yet, you know. Everton was god awful.
True.
You know, last week they played Ipswich and a 1-1 draw. You know, nothing too crazy. I think they did well midweek in the Europa League, are they in?
Yeah, they beat Glimt 3-2.
So I mean, yeah, they're trending upwards, I think, but you know, I think the scoreline is more flattering than it really was. Like,
it's fair.
You know, two of these goals came from Diallo just stealing it off of, I don't know, his Branthwaite both times, but an Everton defender both times and causing problem. Like,
I think it was Tarkowski and Brandt. I think they each had one.
Oh, well, yeah. So, I mean, Everton just, it was not their day. Didn't look good at all, really. But, fair. You know.
Just keep your eye on him. Just keep your eye on Rashford.
I'll keep an eye on him, but I don't think I'm going to take that risk.
If Haaland does not score against Forest, and Rashford puts up some brace or even a hattie, I don't know, man. I might make a crazy move and jump ship because...
off Haaland? That is a crazy move.
I agree, but...
I don't know if it's
There's plenty of other forwards where I can get in. Not to Haaland's level, but at this rate, Haaland isn't the top scorer in our league. I mean, he's not the... point getter.
He's on a slow patch here, but as someone who's bet against Haaland in the past, if he turns it on and starts getting his hat trick after hat trick, it's just impossible to make up the points.
Yeah. You're not wrong. And I know that. I know you're not wrong. I just don't get... We're all sitting here looking like kind of fools when Haaland in the last... Well, last seven, 1.5, 4, 8, 4, 9, 0, 5, 4.5.
Yeah, so see, that's it. He's not really performing to where anyone really needs him to be, but I think everyone is just holding him, and you know, if he doesn't come back the whole season, I think a lot of people will still hold him the whole time because you just never know. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I mean, might be worth the risk. It's, you get one good month out of Rashford, and if he can get you a good handful of points, it might be worth it.
And then say, see you later.
Yeah.
Who do you think got more points in the last eight games here, Haaland or Watkins?
Oh, that's tough. I feel like Haaland just edged him out.
It's Watkins, 41 to 36.
Oh, man.
So, I don't know.
That's rough.
Just think about it.
Yeah. I'll keep an eye on it. I don't know if I'll think about it, but I'll keep an eye on it.
If Man U can start popping off and doing some crazy old school Man U things, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Just want to see. All right. What other games we got here to go through? Oh, Chelsea dismantling Aston Villa. Didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Villa's on now 8 games without a win. So they're equally as in the dumps as City here. 8 games in all competitions. So, you know, take that for what it is, but I don't know what happened over there. They started pretty good. They had some great moments.
I don't know. It's lack of Duran.
But I think he got subbed in here too.
He did.
Yeah. It's just,
that's harsh, man. Get in, bring us back against a top three team in the league right now. I don't know. Again, I'm still on team. I want to see him play more. I want to see him play a whole 90, make it work with Watkins, or, I mean, it would suck to drop Watkins, but it's not like he's doing a lot either.
I mean, I think honestly playing both together, like you said, it's, I'd rather have seen Watkins and Duran up top than Philogene here, because we've seen him a little bit as a sub, and I think he had like one banger of a goal, and you know, maybe that bought him some respect, but other than that, I don't think he's really done enough to warrant a spot where, you know, if you're not going to start Leon Bailey on that side, fine. But then, yeah, I think just go Watkins and Duran, try and, you know, have them train well to play off each other and you know, create these scoring opportunities. And I don't know, they got to do something though, because this team is falling a little bit flat compared to how we've seen them over the last season.
They're 12th in the table right now. Mm-hmm. But I want to say they're, what, top 7 in the Champions League table?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're doing pretty well. Villa. They're 9th, right outside of the automatic position. So
I don't know. They might buy in a tournament team. Ditch the Premier League, maybe still strive to be in the top 4 to 5. But again, Emery likes his tournaments.
Yeah, that's true.
Win Champions League and you're back in it next year, so.
Exactly.
Screw the league.
That's it.
Fulham taking it against Tottenham. I love that Carney scored a goal and then said,
"Yep,
I'm out."
He said, "Look,
I did my job.
Got a red card. What else you need?"
Absolute banger of a goal too.
Oh yeah, it was great. And they had some banger of a shots too. Just couldn't find the back of the net. I think Awobi had one off the crossbar, and I mean Jimenez had one that I think a tap in that like should have been easy, but went right to the keeper or something. But I mean, yeah, Fulham looked the much better side. Tottenham, you know, just smash City 4-0 and then come over here and struggle against Fulham. Doesn't make any sense, but such is the way of Tottenham.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked that, I guess, one Fulham was still pretty much in it up until the very end. And then, yeah, just Tottenham confusing everyone and not able to, I don't know, get this win here. The red card, though, was not great. Wasn't the prettiest red, and I'm still like, what was he doing? And then he was trying to argue that, I guess, I don't even know what he was trying to say, that my balance was off, so I scraped down his calf.
Yeah, that was one of those you can't talk your way out of it. In old days, pre-VAR, maybe,
mm-hmm.
but now with the replays and stuff, just take it. Take your card and go home.
For sure. The Brennan Johnson goal, though, was just as nice. Honestly, when I saw the Werner pass and him going for the volley, you just see so many guys whiff that so hard.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, he made the purest of contact, so he got that going for him. What's crazy, though, is that ball was in the air what felt like for so long,
and
he was so open.
Yeah, the entire time, somehow. No one looked around
and saw him. No one saw him on the backside. You always look at the backside of the post, and yeah, wide open. This Tottenham team's got some pretty bad injuries right now. I think that's going to hurt them a little bit. Solanke's out again, which is crazy. It just makes you think, like, I wish he was on Bournemouth. Like, what could this Bournemouth team be with him?
Yeah. Even when he's been there, he hasn't really panned out like I thought he might. Which I get, you know, new team, new coach and everything, so might take him a full season to really, you know, get embedded in there and learn it all. But I don't know. I think, yeah, considering what Bournemouth is doing now and, you know, how kind of exciting and attacking they've been playing, I think if Solanke pays attention at all, he'll probably see that and say, oof, like, left a good thing back there. And I'm sure he's enjoying his time at Tottenham, you know, getting paid more, bigger club, whatever. Sure. But probably not going exactly the way he was picturing it.
Could be a little better.
Yeah.
They got time. They got time to oh, yeah. 5 points out of second. So you're good.
Oh, yeah.
You're good. Brighton not beating Southampton was a surprise to start the weekend.
It was a surprise, but that point was enough to get them up into Champions League spots with a City loss.
Shocking. I mean, they were second going into the weekend. I think Brighton will be fine. It wouldn't shock me if they make Champions League this year very early. It'd be wild if this is the four right now we're looking at: Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Brighton. Would be pretty awesome.
If we can keep Man City out of Champions League, if we can keep them out of Europe.
Could you imagine?
I'll take whatever, you know, stack of teams you want up there. I don't care. I would love to see it.
And if Forest can win this week, they will be out of Europe.
Yeah, it's a big, you know, 5v6 game coming up midweek here, so... Nice. You know, as we all expected, Forest versus City. So, Chris Wood gonna lay down the hammer on show Holland how it's done.
The Forest King.
Wood. I want this to be the game we finally see Carlos Miguel and just towers in the goal, and City can't get anything past him.
Holland looks up at him.
Yeah.
Man, I hope we get to see Miguel. It's always these midweek games that we kind of see, like, second stringers get in.
That's true.
Was he on the bench? I don't know if he was on the bench last game. I'm going to check really quick.
I think he has been. Oh, but geez. Forest has City Wednesday and then United on Saturday. So both in Manchester, so they might as well just stay over, honestly.
Hang out. Yep, just hang out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was on the bench. Good. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. What else we got rolling?
Palace Newcastle.
Again, Palace just chipping away, getting some points where they can get them. I think Newcastle, of course, probably should have done better.
Yeah.
And I'd say Palace looked like the better team.
I think so. Yeah. I'll highlight Munoz since he had a good game, and you know, he's on my fantasy team. And for those who don't know, you've got Mitchell, so we've been playing a fun comparison, and they're surprisingly even on points up until this game, I guess. But yeah, Munoz could have had a goal early on, but just kind of whiffed it a little bit. But ends the game with 11 tackles, which is just crazy. Nuts. You know, gets the goal to tie it up. You know, yeah, it's this Palace team looked like they were finally kind of starting to click, and I think now it almost feels like now Mateta is the one that just like needs to click as well.
Yeah,
because Eze looked good. You know, both Munoz and Mitchell looked good. You know, defense looked more secured. I know what Guehi put in an own goal, but that was just unlucky as it happens. But
I'd argue that set piece was beautiful.
Oh yeah, great.
And yes, shocking that no Newcastle player put that in the back of the net. It was Guehi himself. But I mean, players were flying all over the place. That was hard to read. Yep. I loved it. I think coaches should study that more because of the movement. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was really nice. One of the best own goals I've seen out of a team.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it looks like Palace is starting to kind of build some momentum, I guess. But I think they just need one of their strikers to kind of kick on with them.
Yeah.
If it's not going to be Mateta, Sarr seems to be coming to prominence now. So maybe run him a little bit more. I know they got Nketiah, who, I don't know, he's kind of hit or miss as he was with Arsenal. Right. So, but they got options up there at least, so they can try a few things out and figure out who's going to fit the best. But vital point for Palace and Newcastle. I think if I had to have a list of managers that could get sacked that's not Pep Guardiola, I think Eddie Howe here is one of the top maybe two on the list.
He's there for sure. I think it's a matter of time. They play Liverpool next, right? We have Castle next? I think we do.
Yeah. Wednesday's Newcastle.
If this is a thumping, I think it could happen.
It could happen.
And usually we get our way with Newcastle, whether it be at the last minute or throughout the game. So, yeah, if Eddie Howe can't pull away a point here, and who are they with in the table? Villa, Bournemouth. I could see Bournemouth passing them this week. Mm-hmm. Bournemouth has Tottenham. That should be a good game.
I think so.
You never know what's going to happen there. So yeah, I think they're in some trouble here. Aston Villa, they have Brentford. That's another good one too. I think it's a good shout, Chad. I think that's very realistic.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I know they got some injuries. Isaac went off injured again, but even with players out there, they just don't seem to be playing with the same intensity as they did before. So something is off, and easier to change the manager than change off all the players. So
yep,
couldn't go that way.
Agree more with you. And then last but not least here, Brentford, Leicester. Leicester going up 1-0 with the Vardy assist. I was like, dude, no way are they going to do this. And then the speed kicked in for Brentford. And they just went kind of nuclear on Leicester. Thomas Frank even was like, holy crap, like we are kind of destroying these guys. What do you think of Leicester's new coach? Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Yeah, I don't know much about him or how he likes to play, but yeah, I saw when he was with Eindhoven for 22-23 season, he went 34-8-8, and then his caretaking of Man U, he was 3-1-0. So good numbers there. That leads me to believe he's at least more attack minded than Steve Cooper was. So that'll be great for Leicester. I think it's a good pickup. see what happens. You know, it, you're still only a point out of relegation, so, like, you don't want to really mess up, but I think you tried the guy that's going to scrape and fight and do whatever can to just survive, and I think Ben Nistelrooy seems to be the manager that you know, doesn't want to just survive but kind of like earn his place here in the Premier League. So
I think they got to give him a budget in the winter.
Yeah.
Let him go out and get some players. Wouldn't be shocked if he finds some of his older players that he has already coached. But I think Leicester needs to obviously get younger, right? They have a very old strike force here. Vardy, 37. Ayew, 33. And then, you know, kind of younger guys surrounding them. But I think that's where you start, right? I'm curious to see who's on the market for the forwards.
I mean, I saw Brighton was looking to loan out Ferguson.
Oh,
I don't know if they would do that to Leicester, but I think that would be a good one to look at, you know. Young, we know he can score goals. We know he can, you know, kind of hold that line. And, you know, if Brighton allow it, then he's going to get some great game time there. So,
what do you think? What about Duran?
I don't know if Villa would let him go mid-season. Not that they're utilizing him all that much, but I think they're in such a kind of precarious position where it's just like, maybe hang on to the guys that have performed at some point in the season and, you know, hope that you can figure something out with them, or they can be the super sub or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, anything to see Duran just play more. So if it were an option, I think it'd be a great choice for Leicester. I mean, why not?
They need something. So yeah, definitely going to keep my eye on it. I thought that was an interesting pickup considering he just trashed your team like twice in the last month.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. Like, we like that guy. He's good at beating us.
Yeah. Well, he can't beat you if he's on your own team. So there you go.
I don't know. Who self-sabotaged them? Was it Rodgers? Wait, who was on?
Brendan Rodgers.
Did he sabotage them? Well, like,
well, yeah, he didn't really do anything, so yeah.
Was he their last coach, though? Before Cooper?
I mean, he was their last coach in Premier League, but then they went down and had Maresca. And,
oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Whew, man. All right, should we get to our team's goals and player here?
Yes, sir. I guess we'll start goals. We didn't even talk about it, but Kirkez, great little banger in like the top of the net. That was a nice one. Emerson's free kick.
Yep.
Gotta respect it. Love to see it like that. I like both Enzo's goal and Palmer's goal here.
Yep.
You know, Enzo with his little like a brief little like keepy uppy sort of vibe, and then powers it in, and then, you know, Palmer just finds that space and curls it in, and then of course prior to his red card, Kearney with his banger
of a goal, of course.
Yeah.
I like the Palmer goal too. That was definitely up there. Emerson goal, whenever it hits the post and like shoots straight down, something about that just like gets me going. So that was awesome. I think those. Oh, I love the Matoma finish. I thought that was an excellent finish from a far cross.
Great pass too.
If I had to pick a build up goal for the week, it's definitely the Newcastle one. The setup and everything. The movement was so nice, even though it didn't result in a goal for them. It should have. Let's see. Oh, I really liked, it wasn't necessarily the goal itself, but the setup Saka gave to Trossard,
Oh, yeah.
Sokka's feet, man, are just moving so fast right now. Yeah. That would have been the assist for me if we had one, but I think I'm leaning Emerson.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like you said, it's those free kicks that banging off the post or crossbar, they just hit so different.
And Rhea tried. He tried.
Yeah.
Tried his hardest. All right. Player, good shouts this week. There's one on my mind, though, just because he broke the record, but Kluivert, the PK, to step up to take three PKs and not mess up one of them, that's
pretty good.
It's damn impressive. Yeah. I don't think we'll see that ever again. I mean, honestly.
Probably not.
Right? Right? But
if we do, it'll be a long time from now.
Unless someone else thought that, you know, really likes that record now and wants to try to go for it. But it's so rare when we see three PKs for one team in a game. Shade from Brentford, Hattie and an assist. Huge. A lot of goals and an assist this week. Saka, two assists, right? And a goal. So, but I give it to a PK on hat tricks because I don't think we'll ever be able to give that type of award ever.
I mean, yeah, it's a record itself right now, right? It nothing came before it. So, I think he definitely takes it, and I'm going to throw like the honorable mention like right under that for Shade, whatever, from Brentford.
Yeah.
Just because you also got a Hattie and an assist there. So,
yep.
Great game from you.
First set of goals in the Premier League this year, too, which is hilarious. Oh, wow. Yeah.
What a way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm shouting out Diallo, though. Man, you, two assists. I'm going to give him the third because he makes the tackle to I think it's their second goal.
It hits a defender.
He gets the tackle. I think it goes to Bruno then or something. But, you know, that goal started with him. So I give him like a 2.5 assists, I guess.
He's been playing great lately. But again, we say this, I feel like, every year, and then it goes away fast. But ride the streak, man. Keep it going. Because, yes, he's been playing really good on that right side.
Yeah. Had Kluivert not had his pens, I think my pick would have been Munoz just for the goal, the shots, the tackles. But, like, Kluivert did something that hasn't been done before, so you have to applaud that, have to award it, and well deserved.
Didn't even know it was a thing.
Yeah.
Chad, there's only one team that is the team of the week.
Yes.
And it is Liverpool.
Has to be.
Anyone but City. And I fully intend to give this award to Forrest.
Ah, please.
We're all riding on you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's some good performances elsewhere, but, you know, I feel like Brentford should beat Leicester, right? And, like, the way Bournemouth has been playing compared to Wolves, I feel like they should beat them.
Yep.
You know, Arsenal probably should have beat West Ham without giving up two goals, honestly. United, put up four, but against an Everton team that they really should be destroying. The Chelsea Villa game had me like pause for a second and consider them. But I mean, we already got City in fifth. We got to keep them going down the ladder here. So any team that contributes to that, you get the nomination.
My expectations of the week, Chad, are seeing City in ninth place by the end of the week. And it is possible.
That'd be crazy. That would be crazy. That might...
Would that be the lowest Pep has ever been in the table?
Oh, I'm
like,
sure.
Like, barring not, like, the first two or three games?
Yeah, I'm sure. Like if they get down that low, I don't think Pep will get sacked, but I think there will be really big questions and question marks and articles now coming out of like, does he need to go? He just signed a new deal, but does he need to go? Like, and that would be great because more outside noise for City to deal with.
Good. So, about time.
Yeah.
Do you think he takes a hiatus?
I think so for sure.
Yeah. He's like, I'll be back next year.
because he did that after his time at Barcelona, right? He took like a 2-3 year sabbatical or something.
I don't even know if it was that long.
Yeah, I forget how long it was, but like, I think he's a guy that when the pressure gets to be a lot, he needs to take that time away. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I think he'll finish out the season, but I wouldn't be surprised if that 1 year extension doesn't happen anymore, or I don't know. There's plenty of time for him to like make something of this season still, but he just already looks so fragile.
He took 6 months off between between Barcelona and Bayern. So well, he'll be all right.
Maybe he just, you know, see where he's at in the new year, and then say, oh, he got like some health issues, I gotta step away, here's my assistant coach to ride it out for the rest of the season.
wouldn't shock me if at the new year and they're sitting mid-table, he might need a little regroup. Who knows All right, Chad, this was a fun talk.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Crazy week 13 where we're at now. Definitely unpredictable, as always. And we'll see what this week holds. First midweek games going crazy. I think we maybe try to meet up end of the week so we can regroup before the weekend, and then we just keep going and going and going.
That's it. Getting in that busy holiday season.
Ooh, so. It's here. It's arrived.
Back to back.
Yep. That's right. All right, Chad. Pleasure as always. Episode 87, Hooligans Pitch. And we're out. Peace.